Yeah, good afternoon, welcome. I was sitting listening for the signal from the producer, and we were both waiting on each other. So we're ready. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we're here until 2. We have basically 1 hour. This program turned out to be a rather short one, but of course, you know the reasons why. I'm still anxious to hear from you regarding several issues on 434-1790. It's myself and John Stout, and we're here until 2 p.m. Unfortunately, we don't get to stay any later than that. So let's get right back to the phones and say, okay, we need to wait for a few people to call. My apologies. We were at a situation where I didn't realize that we didn't have calls on the line. So I can probably respond to some of the WhatsApp messages, and there have been quite a few WhatsApp messages that have been coming through regarding people. So I was a little shocked on Friday when I went to a bar on the West Coast, and the bar manager said some of the staff weren't wearing any masks and serving drinks and talking. I just observed and smiled. Yes, you cannot drink or eat food with a mask. It's understandable, but social distancing was, I guess COVID-19 had left the island for some time, I am sure. In the press conference just now, neither the Prime Minister nor the Minister of Tourism mentioned a single word on the Bridgetown port. Not sure what the reason for that was. And the final one, because we do have a call, I swear, I don't know why you let Glenn Murray get more than 3 minutes to say anything. Stroops. Well, that's it. All the Barbados and diaspora, glad enough that you checked in because, finally Stetson is breaking news that is positive. Way to go, Barbados. And certainly we congratulate Barbados on having been declared COVID-free, and that's certainly for the time being. The question now is, how do we balance the need to have visitors coming in to Barbados, spend some money, and to keep the economy going with the need to keep this virus at bay? And this is a delicate balancing act that we're told has just started and will continue to start. Some of the initiatives are interesting. You know, the idea of testing people on arrival and giving them the opportunity. This, of course, means that you test within the context of our capacity as a nation to be able to address these challenges. That will mean basically reducing the number of people coming in significantly, which means also reducing the potential revenue associated with that. John, do we have a caller? Good afternoon and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bickham. How are you?
Yes, sir. And I'm good. And yourself?
Oh, I am wonderful. It's Clay Taylor here.
Hey, Clay. How's it?
Oh, it's fine. I wish to add my 1 cent piece or 2 cents piece to this very interesting debate about the removal of Lord Nelson statue.
Why not? I just add 10 cents.
Well, I am a big man, but I tend to like things in small packages.
Okay.
Right. This time, 5 cents may do, not 10 cents. 10 cents may be a little too big for me.
Okay.
Now, I am speaking from a tourism marketing standpoint. Nelson's statue has been in Bridgetown for I don't know how long, and I'm not interested in how long it was there, if you understand what I'm saying, or you'll understand what I'm saying as I go forward. I have had the privilege and the honor to represent companies that I've worked for, Cunard. I've represented BDIC through Haywoods when I was the director of sales there. I worked at Sam Lawrence Castle for 13 years. So over those years, I have acquired a lot of books, a lot of paperwork, and a lot of other confusing things that have my house in a mess as it relates to tourism and the heritage aspect of it. And I'm disappointed in a lot of people at the tone that this debate has taken as it relates to the removal of Lord Nelson. I'm further disappointed and disturbed and somewhat scared when people calling themselves activists say they're going to dig down Nelson and throw him in the sea. Now, that is lawlessness of the highest order. I have no brief for Lord Nelson. I have no brief for any of the activists. I agree with Minister Kerry Simmons, I don't care about Nelson. I'm interested in feeding bellies or filling bellies or something to that effect. Then for the last 15, 20 years, I've had the honor to travel all over North America, the U.S. and Canada, parts of Europe, including the United Kingdom, Germany to attend ITB, World Market, and all the major world tourism activity. Some too big. As a matter of fact, I went to ITB once and didn't go back. Everybody wants to go to ITB. I said, no, I can save my company money because I'm not going to ITB. It's expensive and all that. Even though the government of Barbados, through the tourism authority at that time, were providing money to sponsor some of these trips because they saw the relevance of and the importance of it. And I agreed. But for me, I did not want to go because it was too big. I wanted to stay behind, stop in London, march up and down Pall Mall, watch the changing of the guard and whatever, and do those kind of things. Seeking knowledge and experience as to how we are going to move Barbados tourism forward. Now, in researching some work, Professor Steinreed, the late Professor Steinreed, gave a speech to the Hotel Association sometime back in 1990. And Stan's position was, and I have the document in front of me, he said, and I'm quoting from Professor Steinreed, and this speech was delivered to the Barbados Hotel Association President Dinner at the Hilton International Barbados for Charles Grill on Saturday the 3rd of February 1990. And the heading on that cover note says, all rooms are completely booked. And there was a question mark. I'm reading from paragraph 3 on page 1 of that document. Stan says, a hotel sector is the center of any tourism development. You cannot have tourism without hotels, but you can have hotels without tourists. And this is what I really want to discuss. It offers the solution to the foreign exchange crisis we now have. Incidentally, the problem is not that we don't have the foreign exchange. The problem is that the government does not have it. Stan Reed said that as far back as 1990. Okay? He went on to say, to understand the present problem of low occupancy, you have to understand the conditions which created it. These are interrelated. The cause is not the opening up of Eastern Europe. Are your customers so fickle that they shift with every tide? The interest rate increase in the United Kingdom. Are we getting visitors without money? What about Hurricane Gilbert? Are your customers stupid? They don't understand the difference between Jamaica and Barbados? And what about cruise ships? What can you get on your cruise ship that you can't get in Barbados? Our present situation is not due to acts traceable to malignant nature / malevolent deity or an outside cause. Now, I am a little agitated. You can probably pick it up from my voice. That we got people in this country. Barbados, my beloved home, is in the midst of a pandemic crisis. The government led by Mayor Motley and her cabinet, those people are struggling. I didn't hear all of the press conference because I was doing something else. But what I heard is good in that we have fought the hard fight and we're now seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And I dare say that this tunnel is fairly long and will continue to be long. And I believe somebody from Power said, be prepared for another 2 years, but I didn't get all of that, so I'm not going to go there. And I have the whole speech, and Sam and Professor Reed, sorry, went on to give a whole set of other things. And I'm not going to give the speech because it's too long. Now,
I also need to remind you that we only have an hour, so...
No.
And I don't want to rush you. I'm honestly trying to let you speak freely, but we need to move quickly to the conclusion of your comments.
I'm willing to give up. And
I just summarize what your essential point is.
I'm going to summarize now. Yeah. If the activists want to push Nelson in the harbor, out to sea, wherever they want to push him, let them go ahead. I sincerely hope that when the follow comes, nobody blames the government or anybody else.
What follow do you anticipate?
I anticipate follow that
because of
the relationship with the British and our years of relationship with the British, that some British took visitors, if not all, will, for some reason.
So you really think that people are so small-minded?
Some people are.
Ah, come off it.
No, some people are.
So you seriously think so?
No, some people, I'm not saying a lot of people, I'm saying some people are. I have gone to Canada on a promotional tour, and Canadians jumped up and clapped when the picture of Horatio Lord Nelson came up on the screen in the center of Bridgetown. I saw that with my own two eyes.
And I've seen. It's funny because I've been among a group of British visitors who were actually shocked that we had Trafalgar Square and a statue of Nelson in Barbados.
There are people.
We're not. No. I'm saying shocked as in disturbed, as in right. Like, why would you all do that?
And I heard that as well, and I heard that several times.
Suffice to say, I think that you've overreached there. I cannot see why a person who is intending to visit Barbados would determine that they should cancel their trip because we've removed a statue of Lord Nelson. The fallout of which you speak, honestly, I think that is a figment of your imagination. And honestly, I cannot see how it will do anything other than improve our own image of ourselves. I think that by and large, tourists who come to Barbados, they come to visit the island, they come to experience Barbados. It's kind of like an American coming to Barbados and saying they want to eat Burger King or McDonald's. I think that you would be far more inclined to say, let me have a nice piece of fish up at Oystens. One of our most successful tourist attractions recently is Oystens on Fridays. And I'm happy to note the Prime Minister indicated that might be able to start back soon. On Saturdays, you have Lemon Arbor and several other places that sell pigfoot sauce. Tourists also seem to like
all
that.
Those things.
And all I'm saying to you is that I do feel that you are far off base in this belief that people are coming to Barbados to see Nelson.
And
let me go further. I don't know about the other activists, but this activist would like to see Nelson in the museum. Because I believe that is where all the historical artifacts are.
I agree with you. 100%.
The Cat and Nine Tails is in the museum, and I think there's a place for Nelson right next to the Cat and Nine Tails.
I agree with you 100%.
So if a person flies to Barbados and wants to see Nelson, they go to the museum to see Nelson. If they want to see slave gates and slave artifacts, they go to the stadium to see museum to see Nelson.
Agreed. Don't throw him in the sea.
Anything else?
Carry him into a museum.
Anything else?
I mean,
the other point that you were making too, let me just say in quick response that I do feel that you are presuming that as a country, we can deal with crime, we can deal with COVID, and we can deal with nothing else. And nope, the Americans nope, talking I, about I'm walking not, and chewing gum, that was I'm my challenge. Good. That was my challenge with Minister Simmons' position, that I do feel that as a people, we have the capacity to walk and chew gum at the same time. I think that we can concern ourselves with our self-image while filling our bellies.
Mr. Vickers,
I believe we can speak to both.
I agree with you 100%. There's several things that we need to do together. We talk about all hands on deck, and I agree with that. All hands need to be on deck to get this country forward. Finally, one quick point. Barbados has the most beautiful car parks in the world. Carlisle Bay, Hilton, you stand on the beach, park your car, and stand up and watch miles and miles of the Caribbean Sea. You can't do that anywhere else. We're talking about development. Let us put all those resources together to work.
Suppose I were to tell you that I would like to turn government headquarters into a hotel.
I said so 25 years ago.
Oh, you agree? Whoa.
I said so 25 years ago. I sat down in a meeting representing the Barbados Hotel and Tourism Association, and that meeting went on until 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning with Minister Farley. I don't remember what his position was at the time, but Minister Farley was the minister leading the representing government on behalf, representing government as part of the social partnership or whatever. We had a meeting in government headquarters that started at 3 o'clock one afternoon and went through the night till 5 o'clock the following morning trying to solve a problem as it relates to the hotel negotiation. When I got up out of the cabinet room, first time ever had the honor to serve in there. When I got up out of the cabinet room and walked out on the patio and looked over Carlisle Bay, I touched somebody, and I believe Harry Husbands was then with the BEC, and he was part of that delegation. I said then that if I had anything to do, I would move the government up into Warrens, and I would turn all the government headquarters, the printery, everything, into a hotel, leave the road the way it is, leave the trees the way they are. And somebody asked me to cross the road. I said, look, what a crazy. We go to London. We go out of tunnels. We go over flyovers to get from the hotel to the conference room. Why can't we do that in Barbados? Mr. Okay. Vickham, I said that then.
Well said, sir. I'm also told that I should tell you that the wax museum, this is a thing from Auntie America, he's talking about some wax museum in his city. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It has over 50 statues. One of them is William Wilberforce. And if you are so inclined, you can visit and see Wilberforce there, along with Bob Marley and Rihanna and the Mighty Griner and several other notables. So that is one of the things that Auntie America is encouraging you to do. I'm not quite sure why and what's the relationship between him and this museum of which he speaks, but that's what I'm told. Thanks a lot for calling, sir. It was good chatting with you. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes. Hey, how are you doing, sir? Happy Friday.
Yeah, same to you.
So you can get back. Your fete started now?
No, let me talk. You're complaining about time, so let us be...
You get all the time you need, so you're special.
I hear you.
You and Strickers Tenetry get extra time.
Start where that gentleman end off.
That's how much I love Dems. Extra time for the Dems.
Okay. Now, Auntie America, a gentleman I like to hear. You know, I tell you this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You hear where he went this morning with you?
Mm-hmm.
The sirs, honors. I would like to say to people like you, and Ahmad, I like bad, the mighty Gabby, or Dr. Anthony Carter, or the honorable Dr. Anthony Carter.
The most honorable.
Okay, you can put most in it.
But it's
what
most...
I'm saying is this. Auntie America explained to us about the sirs. But I would like to say to you and Auntie America that we only can go there. We've got to deal with a lot of the churches and the little areas around the churches that educate a lot of the people that criticizing, because I am hearing that the conversation ain't criticizing England. I don't know how you can separate it. But this is the impression I'm getting from certain people that what they're doing has nothing to do with England. But I'm saying this. It ain't only the honors. It's those little buildings next to the churches that we've got to get rid of too. And we've got to ask a person like you that should know where the funds came from that built the Deepwater Harbor and the Queen Louise Hospital. Let me move to my second point. Now, lately, I find that there's a copy. You know, we've talked about newborn Christians. You relate that because anything with Christianity just turn you on. You know about the word newborn Christians? Mr. Wiggum?
You said Christianity is turn me on?
Yeah.
Or turn me off?
Or turn you off. Going to. Now, I noticed lately that I got a lot of newborn.
You mean newborn or born again?
Or born again.
Born again. There is born again. It ain't newborn.
Born again Christian.
Yeah.
Born again.
Yes, it's when you're born of the blood.
Where you say
born. Washed in the blood.
Where you say born again. It's not like the word Christian before.
Mm-hmm. Right, but you're reborn, so you're born again.
I don't people that didn't know nothing about the church before.
Oh, okay.
And then became Christians.
Those are converts.
Yes.
Converts, right. Converts to Christianity.
I noticed they got a lot of weird personalities, so now. Newborn, weird.
Like who, sir?
I know a couple, including a gentleman called Peter Wickham.
What part of me is a Christian?
No, not Christian. Where their newborn, weird person. In other words.
Oh, I see.
The type of.
Born again personalities.
The type of person Peter Wickham was before. And others, I ain't calling nobody else's name, who believe that they could criticize anybody on anything today. You can't even cover the issue. Every little thing they're telling you about, they don't want you to deal with no criticism now because they know get changed up. They're born over. And let me tell you, yesterday I listened to all
the way. Which blood or which lamb I washed in?
Listen to all the
No, because if I get born again, I won't know what blood I wash. Because normally when Christians born again, they're washing the blood of the lamb. But which one I get washed in?
I was listening to a program yesterday. And a gentleman like you, he told you all wear clothes. Wear clothes. And to the last day or so before, let's say from Wednesday, they have something up there on social media. Knocking all about there. And we listen to it and laughing, making sport.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday morning, I was told, here is a gentleman who will tell you, don't talk about nobody, don't do this, don't do that. The ambassador to the United Nations came back, and you didn't say nothing at all. Although the same people, including Mr. Wickham, would have been speaking about the advisor to the Prime Minister in England, what he did. But our ambassador that might have done the same thing as the advisor to the Prime Minister of England, that almost caused the Prime Minister to lose his position, we shouldn't talk about it. But yesterday now, I can hear the same fella, the same newborn person, going after Dov Ennis.
You heard me going after Dov Ennis?
Giving the impression he gone back for appeal, and of course he lost that too.
You hear me going after Dov Ennis?
I still, if you listen to me, that's
what. Or is the newborn person, not me?
Persons.
Wayne is telling me that I am washed in BLP blood, apparently.
Right. What I'm saying is this here, Mr.
And apparently the BLP blood is redder than the DLP blood.
You know what I'm speaking about in you directly, because when it's you, I talk to you direct.
Yeah.
I am saying that when you have a radio station, and you have responsible people on this radio station, and they're going to come over anything on that radio station, they shall have facts. And you shouldn't take things from the social media and just announce it on the radio, and then turn around and blame the social media for what you put on the radio. Let me move on. Mm-hmm. Mr. Wickham?
Alvin, I didn't speak on the issue of the ambassador's return before.
Hold on,
Alvin. I let you talk and talk, but I just wanna get in this one. No, but I wanna get in this one, and then you can go back, right? I was anxious to speak on that matter before. I was advised to hold my peace, as one would say.
Which one?
The ambassador issue.
Okay.
Right? And you're saying that she is like the advisor to the Prime Minister in the United Kingdom. I think the situation.
I said the situation.
I know. I heard you. And I think
but
the situation.
But we can move on.
But Alvin, I just want to give you one response, and then I will. And I'm saying to you that I was anxious to speak on the matter. I have been advised not to at the time. But let me just say this, right? I have no difficulty with Her Excellency. I have no difficulty with Her Excellency returning. And let me just say this. Were I in her situation, were I her, I would have done exactly what she did.
Okay.
Because the moment that I hear that my mother is critically ill,
and
would like to see me, sir, if I have to swim to Barbados, if I have to go on my knees and beg someone to come into Barbados so that I can see my mother, I will.
But
you see, Alvin, you can't have it both ways. You have been speaking for the better part of 10 minutes and I have been saying nothing. You say to me you want to have a conversation, I give you as much leeway. You, however, threw in this little nasty talk about the ambassador, and I said I'm going to use the opportunity. I am going to use the opportunity to say something that I have had on my chest for a while.
Okay,
so I wish the ambassador well. I wish her mother well. They are both good James Street people.
Let me move on. Can I move on?
And I am happy to know that the mother is still alive, although critically ill, and that the ambassador is now hale and hearty and out of quarantine. So I wish both of them well. What I can say to you, Alvin, is that you have about 2 more minutes because we really need to move on. So
you did the same thing.
Yeah, but Alvin, you spoke for 10 minutes. I spoke for 2. Come off it.
Just a minute now. You did it with Glenn Murray, and I was really embarrassed. But let me get to my point.
Yeah.
So you always get certain people time.
Right.
You don't get the youngsters that ask for 5 points.
This is going to be a quick march, not a slow march. So march,
and then
left,
the
right.
After 25 minutes, I've got anything.
Quick march, Alvin. Quick march. Point.
Before the 25th of May 2018, there's a particular man that you and him used to get on the air and make a lot of laughs for at 2 ladies. You used to call them Cuckoo and Callaloo. Okay? These 2 ladies, as far as I don't know them, that you can say, yes, I never offend you, nor that nice gentleman that you used to follow all what he had on social media that I used to follow also. And although you know the bad things he used to say about those 2 ladies, especially one of them, every time you're on the air besides today, and I believe only because of the Prime Minister's address that you asked for her to come, Why were you like a lady that you try to belittle and always join you on the radio? Can you answer that?
Who you mean, Trinidadian lady?
Why were you like a person?
I want to speak to her.
Listen,
you know her? If you know her, tell her, I would like her to call me.
But you're listening to the question, Mr. Wicker.
Because she's a damn like you. Tell her I would like her to call and speak to me in the way that she spoke to Dennis yesterday.
Mr. Wicker,
like, rest assured, I ain't going to retire her.
All right, let me get the other one. Just get that. Let me get that. Now, the Ghana issue. You know, Ghana...
Sorry, Alvin, I don't know if you have time for that, though.
No, it ain't going to be long.
Yeah.
And if you keep quiet, it'll be shorter. The Ghana issue. I listen to all of everybody. Prime Minister. Gonzalez. You. The former Prime Minister, I listen to everybody. And I listen to a lot of recordings from Ghana and throughout the Caribbean. Mr. Wickham, I don't know if I'm wrong, and if I'm wrong, excuse me. Why do you get so involved in things? When I hear you speak on that election before it gets to the stage of that, little after the voting and thing, anybody here you would believe that you was in voting booth? You was there when all the votes was calculated and you watched everything. You knew the amount to get beat by. And to me, you was giving the impression you know who was stealing.
Why you know who the thief is? Everybody know who thief is.
What
you know who thief is?
Wait, just a minute, man.
Alvin, you ain't know who thief is?
Just a minute.
Listen, the thing with the thief in Guyana now is that it going on in broad day. Like, you ain't got to guess. You're watching, you can see who thief is.
You want me to go off the air? Let me finish now. Now that the High Court of Guyana.
Appeal Court.
The Appeal Court of Guyana.
Yes.
Have accepted what those responsible for election have said. You still believe what you were telling the people of Barbados?
The High Court of Guyana has ruled that all valid votes are counted. I think that there are a number of us.
Let me hear that.
The Guyana of the High Appeal Court of Guyana has ruled that the definition of votes means valid votes.
Okay.
The challenge that we are having now, when I say we, I mean in the Caribbean community, the issue that I am having is that I believe that the concept of a valid vote is determined based on those votes that are in the ballot box and those votes that are to be counted.
That is your job.
As distinct from the chief elections officer who has a slightly different opinion.
So you have more information than him?
I just have a different view.
No.
And Alvin, anyhow, we need to bring the conversation. Alvin, we need to bring the conversation to a close. And let me just say in closing, because I'm not giving you any final word today, that you will struggle hard to find a Caribbean country in whose politics I am not involved. So it is not that I am overly involved in Guyana's politics. It is just that there is no Caribbean country in which the politics is I am not involved, because that is the nature of the work that I do. So sadly, once there's an election, my name will come up, whether you like it or not. And for the time being, Alvin, as long as I continue to do the work that I am doing, that is the way that it will be. And if that doesn't make you happy, I am so sorry. But I want you to have a wonderful weekend. And I am looking forward to the fact that you can now start back your fets and shake a leg in the course of this COVID pandemic. We'll be right back.